think, of course, as was said, we should be thankful every day. And today we want to look at some of those things that we should be thankful for. So we're going to look at a few of them and have some songs to go along with those things. The first one that we want to look at, of course, is the thing that we often focus on so much of our attention, and we gather around the Lord's table each first day of the week to remind us of, I believe the New King James that Quinn read said, God's indescribable gift, but the King James Version calls it an unspeakable gift. It's a gift that you just can't put into words. As much as throughout the 2,000 years or so since Christ came, as many preachers as have tried to describe the gift and the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross, there just aren't words in His... with the U and the G, because we looked at that day. But His unspeakable gift. If there's one thing, there's only one thing in the world that you can be thankful for, that's it. That's the one thing. No matter, it doesn't matter what else is wrong in your life and how bad everything in the world may be. If you have received God's unspeakable gift, then you have that to be thankful for. Always. As Christians, we have so much more to be thankful for than those in the world, because those in the world, when they've lost it all, they've lost it all. But as Christians, even if we lose it all, we have some things that can never be taken away from us. And that gift, that sacrifice of Christ on the cross, is one of those things. Before we do partake of the Lord's Supper, we're going to sing Psalm 127. Not only His undeserved grace and His unspeakable gift, but we must also remember God's undeniable goodness. Can you imagine what this world would be like if there were an almighty God who was not good? And think about that for just a moment. The goodness of God makes living in this world possible. Can you imagine what it would be like if there were a wicked God that controlled this universe, where bad things happened to the good all the time, and good things always happened to the bad? If there were a case where, without falling or without anything else happening, for some reason you just were walking along and your leg broke just because. Now certainly we understand that there are bad things that happen to good people from time to time. We all suffer because not of the fact that God is not good, but because of the wickedness that has entered His good creation. Because of Satan and his forces and his followers, and because of the times in our own lives when we choose to do what Satan wants us to do rather than what God wants us to do. So we do suffer, but not because of the goodness of God. The goodness of God is what makes life endurable here on this earth, despite the evil that's here. Romans chapter 11 and verse 22, Paul says, therefore consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Psalm 52 and verse 1, the psalmist says, why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. In Romans 2:4, Paul asks the question, do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you toward repentance? God's been so good to us. He's tried in every way He can to draw us to Him. And yet sometimes we still reject Him. We still turn away and do the evil rather than the good. We need to be thankful to Him for His goodness. It's undeniable. But we need to be thankful for it because it has endured this long toward us. And we need to take advantage of it while we can. Because if we notice there in Romans 11, He says that the goodness of God is toward us if we continue in His goodness. But if we fail to continue following Him, we'll be cut off, just as the Jews were cut off who did not believe in Jesus. We have that goodness now, but we will not if we do not continue to follow Him. We need to be so thankful to Him for it and show Him our gratitude by continuing in His goodness. We'll sing now a song. It's not in our song books, but God is so good. Well, what could you say about a God who gave us a gift that's above value and who has given us grace that was undeserved and has given us goodness that's undeniable, other than to say that this must be a God of unending generosity? He continues to give and to give and to give. You know, someone once asked, why does the Bible teach us that as Christians we are supposed to give on the first day of the week? Why do we have to give why doesn't God just figure some other way out? Why do I have to give? The answer to that is you don't have to give. Nobody makes you. God wants you to give because He wants you to share in the joy and the blessedness of giving. In the book of Acts, we are told that it is more blessed to give than to receive. A lot of us don't realize that. We like getting so much that we don't realize that being generous, giving, is something that will make us happier than getting. But God knows that. And that's why He wants us to give. He is a giver. And He wants us to be givers. There are only two kinds of beings in this universe. Those who give and those who take. God wants us to be givers like Him rather than takers like Satan. And we can do that. We read earlier James chapter 1 and verse 17, and we'll bring that back to mind again. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Every good gift. And no gift that He's ever given wasn't a good gift. Wouldn't it be nice if you could say that? How many times did you give somebody a gift and they didn't like it? They didn't want it? And you felt like you wasted your time and money getting that gift and giving it to them? But every gift that God has ever given has been a good gift. He is unendingly generous. His unending generosity. He doesn't change. But despite all of that, of course, there is a limit. He cannot give a gift to someone who will not accept it. If we refuse His gift, they'll just have to give that gift to someone else. We need to take advantage of those gifts that He gives, but appreciate the generosity that He has shown toward us. We'll sing now, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Thanks be to God for His unparalleled glory. His unparalleled glory. Psalm 19 and verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. You know, we have mentioned in times past that it took the Lord just 6 days to create the heavens and the earth and all that in them is. And as we imagine, the most beautiful sight on earth that we've ever seen, whatever it is, it may be a mountain scene, it may be a forest, it may be a desert, it may be the ocean, a beach scene, with the ocean, and whatever we may like. It may be a field full of grain or a forest full of deer, whatever we like. Oh, that is so beautiful. That shows me how glorious God is. Or maybe it's looking up at the stars or seeing a sunrise or a sunset. He made all of that in 6 days. That's just a tiny fraction. All we're seeing is just the tiniest glimpse of the glory of God. It didn't say that the heavens are the glory of God. It says the heavens declare the glory of God. Looking at the star-filled sky at night, watching a meteor shower, looking through a telescope and seeing the planets. If you've seen the pictures they have of these planets with rings and beautiful colors, all these things, and realizing that's just telling us how much glory God has. That's not showing us His glory. That's just reminding us of how much glory He has. And then we think about the home in heaven that Jesus said He went to prepare. He's had now nearly 2,000 years to prepare that home for us. If He could do all of this that we see around us in 6 days, we can't even begin to imagine what heaven must be like. That He's preparing that for us and He's had 2,000 years to fix it up. Certainly, the glory of God. Revelation 4 and verse 11 says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." The glory of God. So bright that Paul tells Timothy that Jesus in His heavenly form is so spectacular that no man has ever seen Him nor can see Him. He talks about Him dwelling in a light that is unapproachable. So bright. You remember how Paul was blinded by the light? He didn't see Jesus. He saw the light coming and it blinded him. He didn't get a chance to see Jesus. Oh yes, John saw a vision of Jesus taking on the form of a man. But Paul tells us, you can't look on Him. In the Old Testament it was said that you couldn't see, no man can see God and live. But one day we will see Him as He is. And the glory of the King in His majesty is like nothing that we've ever seen before and nothing that we can imagine with our human minds. But if we're faithful to Him, one day we will see His glory, His unparalleled glory. Oh, the kings of the earth, oh, they build castles and palaces and they dress up in jewels and fine clothes. But the glory of God is unparalleled by any earthly ruler. Let's sing now, Holy, Holy, Holy. Well, what about His unimpeachable gospel? You know, for 2,000 years, people have been trying to discount the gospel in one way or another. They've tried to say that Jesus is still dead and that the disciples just stole the body. They've tried to say, well, He never died at all. He just swooned and then revived later. They've tried all sorts of things, even so far as to say that Jesus wasn't even a real person. But despite all of that, for 2,000 years of being attacked, the gospel still stands. Unimpeachable. Oh, they can make whatever vain accusations they want to make, but the gospel remains. Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." And even though he wrote that over 1900 years ago, it's still just as true today as it was the day he wrote it down. The gospel is still the power of God to save. People try all sorts of newfangled gimmicks to get people to go to church, but gimmicks won't save people. And churches that get people to come with gimmicks haven't saved anybody. They've just gotten a big crowd of gimmick seekers. The gospel is God's power for salvation. Has been from that time until now and will be until the end of the world. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." In other words, just like it had been prophesied He would hundreds of years before. Certainly, if there's anything worthy of giving thanks for this Thanksgiving season or any other time of the year, it's that gospel. The word gospel itself means good news. And let me tell you, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus is good news for us. For those who will believe it, unless you've believed in vain, if you hold fast, that's good news to you. Something you can count on. Something that despite all the skeptics and atheists and infidels in the world, still remains unimpeachable to this day. Let's sing now, "Tell Me the Story of Jesus." As we think of the blessings that God has given us and the things that we should be thankful for, we need to thank God for His untiring guidance. You know, God could have created the world, as the deists say, and left things to chance. Just created it and started it spinning and then stepped back and gone on about His own business. But instead, God has, throughout the periods of time, controlled where things went and how things went. And He still, to this day, has left us with a guide. An untiring guide. You know, human guides would get tired. I suppose even angels might get tired of guiding some people who were corrupt and wicked and trying to turn this way and that after a while. But God has left us His Word in the Bible. An untiring guide that doesn't complain if people don't follow it, doesn't gripe if people disobey it, just continues to say the same thing year after year, guiding people to the truth, guiding them toward heaven. Psalm 119 in verses 104 and 105, the psalmist says, "Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We need to be thankful to God for His untiring guidance through His Word. We'll sing now number 40, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." The final thing that we want to look at in our thanks to God today is thanks be to God for His unsurpassed guarantee. You know, a lot of things that you buy come with a guarantee of some kind or another. Most of the time, those guarantees are limited. It's a car that has a limited mileage guarantee or warranty. Or maybe you buy something that has a money-back guarantee if it's found that it was defective. But we have an unsurpassed guarantee with God. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, John tells us, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin." Notice it didn't say it just cleanses from some sin, or just every once in a while, or just if it wasn't our fault. No, it had cleansed us from all sin. We'll walk in the light. Revelation 2:10, He tells the Christians, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. But be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." When God gives a guarantee, it's unsurpassed. You know, I have at times past bought something, maybe even gotten it on sale and thought, well, I really got a good deal on this, and it maybe said something about a rebate offer or a warranty of some kind. But what I found out was that there was a deadline. You had to return the warranty card by 2 months before I bought it. And the guarantee wasn't any good because it was too late. Or maybe there was a coupon offer. And by the way, speaking of coupon offers, today if you go to the Dr. Pepper website, you can get a coupon for a free 20-ounce bottle of Dr. Pepper. But it's only good if you go there and get it today. See, that's the way those things work. When people come up with these things, they're limits. They're qualified. They don't last forever. I know one company gave out all these guarantees. Well, then the company went out of business. Then who are you going to call? They're not there anymore to stand behind their guarantee that they gave. But when God gives a guarantee, it's unsurpassed. There's no end to it. And it doesn't run out. And it's not limited by time or place or anything like that. So He promises us if we'll be faithful to death, He will give us a crown of life. And Paul told Timothy the same thing. He said, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. And now he said, I'm ready to get that crown that's laid up for me. And he said, not for me only, but for all those who love Him. Well, we have that chance to have that guarantee, but only in Christ. We're now seeing It Is Well With My Soul, number 561. You know, without a doubt, as that last verse of the song we just sang says, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. When that happens, will it be well with your soul? If you're right with God now, then you can be confident that as long as you continue in the path you are walking, you'll be right with Him at whatever time that comes, morning, noon, or night, it won't matter. But if you're not right with Him now, then it won't be well with your soul unless you get right with Him. Perhaps you're here today and you have not been thankful to God for all of His blessings, for His gift of Christ, for His grace and His goodness, His generosity, His glory, the gospel and His guidance, and His guarantee. You know, just as much as He made a guarantee that those who are faithful to Him will get to go to heaven, He made some guarantees on the other side of the ledger too. He guaranteed that those who were unrighteous and ungodly will suffer for eternity. Jesus talked about that place. He said, the fire is not quenched and the worm never dies. Doesn't sound like a place I want to go. If you're here and you have a need to respond to His invitation, one of the things that in Romans 1 is condemned, right along with we studied homosexuality and we studied some of the other sins of Sodom last week, one of the things that was condemned right there in Romans chapter 1 was that the people were not thankful to God. Let's not fall into that category of being unthankful, because God will pour His wrath out on those who are unthankful, ungrateful, just as much as He'll pour it out on those who live all kinds of wicked lives. But if we live good, clean lives, but we're not thankful to Him, we're no better off than those who are out there wallowing in all the sinful things of the world. Let's give God the glory, the thanks, and the praise that He deserves. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.